The Hoop Collective is brought to you by Goodyear, celebrating March deal days with month-long service and savings. Visit GoodyearAutoservice.com for offers. Daily Wager is a new podcast for all your information on tonight's games. Listen every weekday afternoon for the latest info on the biggest games and plays. That's Daily Wager. Listen wherever you get your podcast. Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we are doing after the trade deadline on Thursday afternoon. I'm tired. I shouldn't be tired. Not that much happened, but I'm still tired. Joining me from, actually, he's in San Jose, California. Am I allowed to reveal that, Bontemps, since you're on the West Coast, or am I not allowed to reveal that?
Well, you just did, so here we are.
He's in California.
And hello,
still
everyone.
In Texas, deep in the heart of Texas, is Ban McMahon.
Howdy, partners.
So, in the end, there wasn't a lot that happened in this trade deadline. There was a surprise all-star that got traded in Nikola Vucevic going to the Bulls, and a surprise player who was not traded in Kyle Lowry. There's a couple of things I want to say right out of the gate here. One, no matter what anybody says with the Toronto Raptors about today, no matter what potential TikTok stories, because I think ultimately the most intriguing thing that happened today, I don't know if we're ever going to find out, which was the push and pull and game of chicken in between the Lakers, Raptors, 76ers, and Raptors on Kyle Lowry, which ended up resulting in nothing. No matter what the Raptors say, they made
ended
two
up
trades.
Resulting in a Victor Oladipo landing in Miami.
Well, hold on. Number one, they made two trades to clear roster spots.
Yeah.
They traded Matt Thomas, and who else did they trade?
They traded Terrence Davis.
Terrence Davis to Portland.
Now, I will also add, before you start, they added a player in another trade. So they really only were down one roster spot. So it's not like they were, it's not like they had 17 roster spots open and didn't trade anybody.
Okay. Nonetheless, they gave away two players to clear space. So I don't want to hear that they, well, we never were going to trade them or blah, blah, blah. I'm just tossing my cynicism before that narrative even gets going. Yeah, they thought they were going to trade him. They just didn't get a trade that they liked, okay? Second thing is, McMahon, the Houston Rockets traded Victor Oladipo at the buzzer for two guys on expiring contracts who, they're nice players, Kelly Olynyk and Avery Bradley. They're fine.
They traded Victor Oladipo for nothing.
Yeah, and a pick swap next year.
Yeah,
What did they have if they didn't have Miami coming in at 3 o'clock?
Apparently nothing. And you know, I was told this.
They traded Victor Oladipo to save an extra $5 or $6 million this year too in salary.
Yeah, and the pick swap, it'll be Brooklyn's. It'll probably end up being Brooklyn's pick to Miami for Miami's pick. So it'll be you're moving up in 2022. Who knows? You know, you're moving up 5-10 spots in the first round. Whatever. You know, it's not nothing, but it's certainly not what I would consider significant draft compensation. Look, I was told earlier this week, we're not just going to dump him for a couple of seconds. You know, we've heard that talk.
That's true. They did not.
Yeah, we've heard that talk. That's not happening. And, you know, they did not. Didn't get a whole lot. Did not get a whole lot. You know, I was told, you know, hey, if we go into the summer, you know, maybe we can work something out, sign and trade, you know, we'll do that instead of taking pennies on the dollar. All right. They took dimes on the dollar.
Nickels.
Yeah. Well, and remember, let's go back to the James Harden trade. The Houston Rockets could have had Jared Allen and Caris LeVert in that trade. And they chose to take Victor Oladipo and a Bucks first round pick, which they then turned into a swap with the Rockets in the PJ Tucker trade. So, like, this team would look a lot different if it had Caris LeVert and Jared Allen on it going forward.
And PJ Tucker.
That it does not. And, well, right. If they had PJ Tucker too.
PJ was going to be gone one way or the other.
That I agree with. He was going to get traded. But look, if you could have Caris LeVert and Jared Allen with Christian Wood with these picks going forward. And, like, that's at least some young, interesting players that you could build around. You could maybe move down the road. And instead, they have, you know, Not a lot.
And then, you know, the Allen Wood positional fit. Okay, you could have moved Allen this summer, whatever. Like, yes, that's fair second guessing. It's also, we don't know exactly what the offer was from Philly, but we know it was Ben Simmons plus. You know, the problem was not just that the plus wasn't enough, but the Rockets ultimately decided they didn't feel like Ben Simmons was a legitimate build your franchise around him type of player. And so, you know, as the years go forward, that's always going to be fair for hindsight and second guessing as well.
All right. So hindsight and second guessing. Let's now look at Philadelphia, Bontemps. Philadelphia. I don't know whether they could have had Harden, because only a few people can answer that question. Probably Tillman Fertitta being the most important one. By the way, Tillman Fertitta has certainly lightened his financial obligations to this Rockets team over the next couple of years. Maybe that will end up being just fine because they'll rebuild and they didn't want to have Jared Allen and Caris LeVert, who they were paying, you know, $15 to $20 million and winning 34 games. Maybe that's smart. Maybe that'll be fine. Maybe they'll get lucky on one of those Brooklyn picks. It'll be a top five pick, or maybe they'll do a deal where they get a star player and multiple picks.
Maybe they'll get lucky on their own pick and not have to give it up because they land in the top four this year. That's what they really need to happen.
Maybe, but they also got a 20 game losing streak and an owner who dumped a bunch of cash. That's what they got right now. Okay. In 3 years from now, they may be smelling like a rose and say, we had foresight. We did our smart moves. We're just fine. Thank you very much. But right now they got an owner who dumped a bunch of cash and has a 20 game losing streak and a crap team to show for. Okay. That's what they got right now. All right. Philadelphia. We'll never know whether maybe we will know in somebody's book or somebody's expose later on.
Or Daryl might tweet it at some point. Who knows?
Well, I don't even know. Does Daryl know whether they didn't do the deal because they liked Brooklyn's deal better or they just didn't want to deal with him?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I've been assured, no, what about that? What about that? It was more about how we felt about Ben Simmons, blah, blah, blah. But yeah.
What's the Rockets' truth-telling percentage? I mean, I know you got to cover them and talk to them every day.
I don't possess a polygraph, and I don't have a lot of confidence with a lot of people that I talk to that they would necessarily fare really well on a regular basis.
All right. So, Bontemps, Philly was in the batter's box on Harden. I can't fault them because I don't know what the dynamics were. Maybe they never really could have gotten him. They were in the batter's box on Kyle Lowry. They closed neither deal. They are in the number one seed in the East, or what, they're right there. Do you think they'll regret not closing either of those deals?
I mean, look, I think they're certainly going to regret not closing this one. But at the same time, I don't know if it's fair to say on either one that they didn't close it. Right. Like I Tim's got a pretty good Texan BS detector, and I'll just say it. I don't think there's any way in hell Tillman Fertitta was going to allow Daryl Morey and James Harden to have a chance to win a championship together in Philadelphia. I've said that to him off the pod, lay it on the pod. I don't think there was ever a chance in hell they were going to allow it to happen. So I've never really faulted the Sixers for not getting James Harden. And look, it's hard to know. Like you said, right now, we don't know exactly what the choice was ahead of that was laid out in front of the Raptors at 2:55 or 2:58 or whatever time before 3 o'clock Eastern time today. But they had talks with the Lakers. They had talks with the Sixers. They had talks with the Heat. And ultimately, you know, by all accounts, seems Miami wasn't willing to trade Tyler Hero. By all accounts, whatever offer Philadelphia was offering was not enough to satisfy the Raptors. And whatever offer the Lakers were offering was not enough to satisfy the Raptors. And so ultimately, Masai Ujiri decided not to do it. And we all know Masai, and we all know he has no problem if he doesn't like his hand standing up and walking away from the table or going all in to make a move. I mean, he's as sure-handed a guy as there is in a league in these situations.
And, but boy, it sure did seem like he was set up to take the last best offer.
Because yes.
The trades they made weren't, you know, those are, you're not creating roster spots just, you know, for fun.
Well, I mean, look, they got getting Norm Powell, trading Gary Trent for Norm Powell made a lot of sense. They, for whatever reason, they decided they weren't going to pay Norm. I really like Gary Trent. I think he's a good fit there with their guys. You have him and OG Anunoby on the wing. You have him, Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam, those four guys together. That's a damn good one through four. Really, really nasty defensively. All of them can shoot threes. Like, he's younger. That's a really nice fit. So I thought that deal made sense. They got Rodney Hood in that deal. So like I said, they're only down one roster spot. Frankly, getting rid of Terrence Davis removes a headache from them. He's had a domestic violence issue going back to November or sometime in the offseason that's kind of hung over that team. And Matt Thomas wasn't in the rotation, and they shed some money. There had been talk Utah was looking for a
shooter.
They
wouldn't have cleared those spots if they didn't think they could have had something going.
They also could just go sign one buyout guy to play center for them also, since Aaron Baines has been terrible. I mean, so I'm just playing devil's advocate. But the point is, we're saying all this stuff. Everybody thought that this was leading up to put your best offer on the table. We're going to pick one at 255. And ultimately, they did not. And maybe we'll know what ultimately allowed them to, or what ultimately led to them to decide to hang on to Kyle. But I'll say this, it's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens this summer, because you would have to think that if Masai and Bobby Webster didn't make this trade now, it means one of two things, right? It would mean that either A, they're going to be willing to pay Kyle this summer, whatever it's going to take to keep him, which is not going to be cheap, or B, they think they can get as much or more in a sign and trade for him than they can now. And so that's going to be awfully interesting, because if they decide to go not make a trade now, and then Kyle walks in free agency for nothing, there's going to be a lot of head scratching about why they didn't take whatever the best offer was on the table now to get something for.
The word that went out in the last few days, and so that's how I'm going to frame it. The word that went out in the last few days was that Kyle was looking for a 2-year contract in the neighborhood of $50 million. Mm-hmm. So that means if you were going to trade for him and you wanted to keep him, be advised that that was the requested price.
Yeah, and Woj just tweeted that, you know, teams making offers had to take into consideration, would he be a rental or would he, you know, basically what was going to happen in free agency, and that impacted the offer. So yeah, he's not going to be a discount. You know, are you going to pay a guy that age, that much money, all those things, but still pretty surprising that a Lowry deal didn't end up getting done.
Well, if you look at the marketplace, right? Which of these teams is going to have a lot of cap space this summer? That'd be the Miami Heat. And which of these teams ultimately decided not to include their one real blue chip trade or asset in this trade package?
Right.
The Miami Heat, right?
Yeah. So I think if you're the Raptors also, you know, if the package that the Heat were offering, I believe, included Duncan Robinson. And they ended up trading Olenek and Avery Bradley.
Right.
And they traded for Nemanja Bjelica, and they think they've got a good shot at LaMarcus Aldridge. So obviously Kelly Olynyk was probably going. It looks like Avery Bradley was going. Duncan Robinson was going. They would have needed one more piece, I think, to make the money work. But they were looking at, you know, even paying Duncan Robinson, you know. Well, they traded for Gary Trent. So Gary Trent's a restricted free agent. That's the guy I think they intend to pay. Mm-hmm. And if they had done the Miami deal as offered, they would have had Duncan Robinson and Gary Trent to pay. And I'm not so sure they were in the mood to pay both of those guys. So once they did the Trent deal for Norm Powell, it was like, wow, I don't think Duncan Robinson's getting it done. So I know that they had some discussions about Precious Achiuwa, their rookie. He's to the Heat's rookie. You know, the Raptors do need a big man. He's not really a starter. Maybe he will be a starter in the future. It just without Hero, without Talen Horton Tucker, the Raptors weren't interested in those two offers. And, you know, one of the factors for the 76ers is, okay, if you're going to trade, you know, Tyrese Maxey or Matisse Thybulle or a first round pick or whatever, you're probably going to want to re-sign Lowry. And with Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid already on the books at max contract, adding a $25 million salary is not fun. So, not to mention the luxury tax implications of this year doing that. So I think that all played into it for sure.
And they hedged their bets pretty early, getting George Hill, George Hill can help a team, in the playoffs. There's no question about that.
He's not Kyle Lowry, but they got George Hill, who is a very good fit, does a lot of the things that Kyle does at a lesser level, but still is a good fit, and also kept Matisse Thybulle and Danny Green and their picks and all this stuff going forward. So they have ammo to go get other people down the road. So I really like that move for them. And I do think it got them materially better. Now, I think if they'd gotten Kyle, it would have picked them to get out of the East, which is obviously a different level than George is going to get them to. But that's a good move for them. They traded guys that weren't going to play for them in the playoffs for a guy that really will help them and could close games for them. So I thought that was good. But, you know, when you have this buildup to where's Kyle going to go and he ultimately stays, it yeah. still is going to feel like a bit of a letdown for a team that clearly is all in trying to win a title.
And again, I don't know what he'll say publicly, but Kyle's flashing the peace sign going off the court last night.
Yeah.
Having fun with Drake on the FaceTime and the postgame presser.
Kyle, all of that last night felt like he was going to be traded. Now, yeah. Kyle has said the whole time that he didn't know what was going to happen. And I think, you know, he did say, you know, on several occasions that, you know, he wasn't going to be upset if he stayed. I don't think he is upset that he stayed. But, you know, look, ultimately, the questions here are not for Kyle. They're not for the other teams. It's for Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster, right? They're the ones who ultimately decided that they were going to stand pat. And that's where the real decision was made today. It wasn't with contract extensions in the future. It wasn't with what other teams are going to put in. It was, you know, why did you decide to draw the line here? And what does that mean going forward? Because again, now this extends to the summer and we'll see what happens with Kyle in the summer. And if Toronto is able to get anything for him, or if they're going to end up, you know, having a guy walk out the door that they could have at least gotten something for at today's deadline.
Yeah, or if he lands in Miami, which now Oladipo's got at least an audition with the Heat. It's no secret. That's where he wants to be. That's where he hopes to.
He's got to be one of the happiest guys in the league.
Oh, yeah. No, Oladipo got exactly what he was hoping
he's a huge, for. He's a huge winner.
He might be so happy.
He's been trying to get to Miami back. In one way or another for literally years.
Yeah, and now, you know, now he's there, and now he needs to perform well enough to convince the Heat that he's worth keeping.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. I think the Heat were one of the big winners. They didn't get Lowry, fair, but they got Oladipo. They, you know, got Bielitsa, which, you know, that's not exciting, but, you know, they got a power forward who can stretch the floor.
An Olynyk replacement.
An Olynyk replacement. They got Trevor Ariza, who hasn't started off great, but he hadn't played in a year, so fine. And I think they got a great shot at LaMarcus Aldridge. And they did all that. They gave up one draft pick and all of that, a 2027 second-round pick, plus this pick swap, which, you know,
you're moving a handful of spots probably there.
Yeah.
And if you hit big in free agency, maybe that, you know, maybe there's no swap to be had.
You probably upgraded your team this year. I think they upgraded it. We'll see how Victor plays, etc. And you didn't harm your cap space. So I think the Heat moved the ball down the field. Now, are they beating Brooklyn or Philly in a series? I don't believe so. But I think they did well. Also thought Chicago was a winner. So Chicago...
I'm not sold on that one.
Okay, so they get... They're two games out of the eighth playoff seed. They want to make the playoffs. You can argue and debate whether or not being the seven or eighth seed is that big of a deal.
They're also three games out of fourth.
Okay. So they trade for Nikola Vucevic, who's having one of the best years of his career, is on a $100 million contract, but it's not a albatross contract, and he's playing well. A big man who can stretch the floor. Wendell Carter Jr. What's that?
The salaries actually decline, so that, you know, that makes it better.
That's right. Wendell Carter Jr. has had injury problems his first few years in the league and recently had been taken out of the starting lineup. I don't think Billy Donovan was in love with that. His star had dimmed, so they send him down there. And they use up their cap space, although I guess they could potentially still generate some if they like waived Thaddeus Young and renounced Lauri Markkanen. I don't know why they would waive Thaddeus Young. He's a really good player.
Right.
Then they pick up Daniel Theis in just a really nice deal. Just the Celtics, you know, traded for Evan Fournier, went into the tax. And so they traded Daniel Theis, who I really like, undersized five, but competes and can shoot and a guy I want to have on my team. Boston gets out of the tax with that move. Congratulations to the Celtics. They get a state avoid the tax, enjoy finishing seventh. So Theis, they pick up Theis as another big man. And you know, they probably take themselves out of the Lonzo Ball market. Lonzo Ball, I don't know what they're going to do point guard long term, but Bontemps, I felt like Chicago had a good day.
Yeah, I agree. I'm curious to hear Tim's other side of it though. Before I say anything, they also got
Tony Brown from Washington.
Troy Brown.
Yeah, they gave up two very lightly protected picks, and you know that was a pretty steep price to pay. You know, Carter is not quite, I wouldn't quite call him a reclamation project, but you know, I understand that the two picks was a pretty steep price to pay for a team. Like, does this vault the Bulls into the middle of the playoff pack? I don't think so. It's basically for a team competing to crack the playoffs every year. I'm excited to watch them because look, Levine and Vooch, I mean, boy, those are two really, 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 really good offensive players. You can make an argument that, you know, outside of Brooklyn, it's the best offensive combination, 1-2 punch in the Eastern Conference now. So I'm really excited to watch them play. I just, you know, I don't know that they're going to be even mediocre defensively. I think they're not going to be good enough defensively to do any kind of damage as a playoff team. So the giving up the two picks that I think are going to be middle of the first round type of picks is a pretty steep price to pay. Although I respect it. I appreciate when a team is willing to take that big swing. But you know, when I saw that deal, I kind of asked some folks around the league what they thought, and I got pretty lukewarm responses, you know, which was my initial reaction in terms of it's a fun move. I'm just not sure that it's a smart move.
Well, and listen, I think that's a very reasonable position to take for a couple different reasons. Now, I'm more on the Brian side of this than you, but it's an interesting trade, right? Because in today's NBA, if you have a center that's not good defensively, and while Vucevic isn't awful, he's definitely not good, you have a ceiling on how good you can be, right? And so by trading for him, the Bulls are probably a team that, like you said, you're looking at a team that's probably going to be fourth, fifth, sixth, I would say, in the Eastern Conference. But if you think Zach LaVine is an all-star caliber wing, and I think that the way he's played this year, you know, he's probably deserves to be in the mix with guys like Devin Booker and Donovan Mitchell and some Absolutely. Of these guys as like that level of a wing player. So if he's that good, you're kind of sort of already going to be like a mediocre team, which is basically what they are now anyway, right? And, you know, to Brian's point, Wendell Carter Jr. had not played well this year at all. He'd been taken out of the starting lineup. And yes, they're giving up this year's pick, which, you know, could be okay. I think the Bulls are going to be firmly in the top six after making this trade, barring health issues. So well, I don't think it's going to be that bad. If
they fall in the lottery, that I will revise my situation with McCann. You got to do what you got to do.
That will look a lot different. And look, Arturis Karnishevis, the guy in charge of the Bulls, I think he's their vice president of basketball operations, his official title. They have prioritized shooting from the moment they got there. You know, they surprised everybody this summer a little bit by not qualifying Chris Dunn's RFA rights and qualifying Denzel Valentine, who signed his qualifying offer in about 5 seconds, right? And they did that because he is a shooter and they prioritize shooting across the court. So now they get one of the best shooting bigs in the league. They have him, to your point, McMahon, with Zach LaVine, what's going to be a super fun team to watch. And, you know, with guys like Thad Young and Pat Williams, their number four pick in this year's draft, with Thomas Satoransky at the point, I do think they have a good mix of defensive players around them. I think they can be pretty good. And the other thing I'm curious about going forward is, you know, when you would talk to people about Billy Donovan, the thing that would repeatedly come up about him is that he's a guy that still has great relationships with his players, going back to both guys that were with him at Florida and guys he recruited in college. Like, he's a guy that all these guys who are coming up now really like. And the guy I've been curious about with the Bulls since Billy got there is Bradley Beal. And Beal is going to be a free agent in a year, and the Bulls could be in position to get him in a year. And if you're a team that's, say, fourth or fifth in the East and in the mix in the playoffs, that's probably a lot more appealing if you're the Bulls.
Well, they're not going to be able to trade for him they just give up a couple of firsts.
Right.
But if he gets to free agency, that's a different story, right? So
I'm lukewarm, but top six this year, you think they finish in the top six in the standings?
Well, I mean, look, we're talking about
They just traded for an all-star.
Okay, they've got to jump.
That's the other thing.
Two, three, four teams to get top six in the standings. One of those teams, the Hawks got better today. Getting Lou Williams is a big win for the Hawks.
I'm going to be curious to see how motivated Lou Williams is. It's a contract year, but I'm not sure Lou was thrilled to be traded out of L.A. So I'm going to be curious to see
traded somewhere, it's to Atlanta. It's his home.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. Magic and look, City that Kitchen was a win.
Cater too, can't they?
Well, they Magic City Kitchen will probably get a lot of business. And I think that it's a win for Atlanta because Rajon Rondo has been awful for them. And while I think he'll be better for the Clippers, he was not going to be good in the regular season for them. So I think that makes them better. But I'm not sure how much better it makes a team that already didn't guard anybody to get Lou Will on their roster. But look, I mean, I think they're better than the Knicks.
Problem, though,
I think without Paul, they're better than the Hornets.
The Hawks' biggest problem was when Trae Young sat down, their offense went from really good to absolutely awful. And say what you want, Lou Will's going to get buckets.
Oh, that's true.
I look forward to that.
Just not having Rondo will help.
I look forward to that Lou Will, Trae Young backcourt. That's shut down corners.
I was going to say opposing guards might score a few points.
So here's what I'd like to know.
I just think the thing about this trade, just real quick, is that, like you said, Brian, Nikola Vucevic is really good. Now, he's not a great fit if you're trying to win a title because of where the league is, but he's really good. And I think by getting him, I think the Bulls got way better today, especially getting him and Tice. I mean, they went from Wendell Carter Jr. and Daniel Gafford to Daniel Tice and Nikola Vucevic. That's a way better team than they were 12 hours ago.
I agree. And Zach LaVine is playing just spectacular basketball. Yeah. And this is an investment in him. And they're going to try to extend him this summer. I don't know if he will extend because his contract is sub max. And so it's, I might wait, but that's also a factor. We'll see what happens with Lauri Markkanen, who was on the block, but did not get traded. One thing I'd like to know. So, you know, in the recent days, and correct me if you guys heard something different, but in recent days, you know, I had heard that, yes, Aaron Gordon was going to move, and yes, Evan Fournier was going to move, but that Nick Vucevic was off the table, which, you know, he has a good contract and he's an all-star. I kind of get that. But obviously Orlando was like, look, we're going to rip the Band-Aid off.
The Magic took the right approach. Like, listen, striving for mediocrity, they've been there. They've done that. They capped out at a team that could crack the playoffs but not be competitive in them. And so they got pretty significant draft compensation for Vooch.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. I heard Charlotte had some interest in Vucevic, but I didn't hear anything about Vucevic.
Yeah.
Where else? I mean, if Vucevic had really been on the block for days like Aaron Gordon was, I mean, I don't know the answer.
You think they could have created more of a market?
Well, maybe they did, and I just didn't hear. Just because I didn't hear doesn't mean it didn't happen. But
right.
I would have thought if he was wide out there available that they could have gotten,
I think,
some nice offers.
I think to Tim's point, though, specific teams were going to have interest in Nikola Vucevic because he can help accomplish specific goals. But, like, if you're trying to reach the conference finals or the NBA finals, despite the fact he's a really good player and has gotten way better over his career in Orlando, he isn't a great fit if you're trying to play in the conference finals or the finals. So I think it sort of limits the market of teams and the universe of teams are going to be interested in him. Like Charlotte is a team that's interested in being in the playoffs and has a gaping hole at center. It made sense to pair him with LaMelo Ball in Charlotte. The Bulls are trying to make a leap back to being a respectable team again. It makes sense for them to get him for the next 3 years and have him and Zach LaVine together and have a potent offense with a couple really good defensive players around them. Right. But like, because of the combination of Orlando wanting a bunch of stuff back for him and only a certain kind of team making a lot of sense for Vucevic trade for him. I don't think it would have made a lot of difference if they'd dramatically made him available. And frankly, if you look at what Aaron Gordon got traded for, a guy that makes more sense in the latter round of the playoffs, it might make more sense that he wasn't widely available, because like they clearly got a lot more for Vucevic despite those flaws than they did for Aaron Gordon, or especially Evan Fournier, who they basically just dumped salary to get rid of.
McMahon, am I crazy to think that it might have been interesting for Dallas to consider a Porzingis-Vucevic swap?
I think it wouldn't have made a lot of sense for the Magic, honestly.
I mean, young player under contract.
Yeah, young player under contract with durability. Like, look, the Magic needed to just bottom out, you know? Like, it was time for the Magic to strip it down and build it back up and, you know, hope that they get one of those top five picks this year, maybe again next year. And, you know, it was time to reset that roster, you know, the
100%.
And when you're doing that, you don't want a guy on a max deal. Look, if you're going to be bad, be cheap. You're going to be bad, be cheap.
You have to pay somebody.
I'm not one of these people that thinks that every team who's not contending for the finals should blow up their team. But Orlando, we knew what this Orlando team was, right? Yeah. The past, they've had this exact same team basically since Jeff Weltman and John Hammond got there a few years ago. And they're a seventh or eighth seed in the East, right? They're not going anywhere with this team. So yeah, they've got Jonathan Isaac and Markelle Fultz, who are interesting young players who are hurt right now. They've got RJ Hampton now, they can play a lot. They've got Chuma Okeke, who they can play a lot. They've got a bunch of interesting young guys. They've got now, they're like Tim said, they're going to have a top five pick in this year's draft, almost certainly. They're going to get a stud there. They've got another couple picks coming from the Bulls. They got a pick coming from the Nuggets going forward. They've got a bunch of stuff to
RJ Hampton, with. A nice little developmental project.
Yeah, they can refresh this thing and start over. And I think they had maxed out everything they could possibly do. And look, like, what have we talked about for weeks? There was nobody really available, right? This was the perfect time to have a bunch of guys available to trade, because with so little actual talent on the market, they got three first-round picks and a young player and some interesting stuff back, two young players, some interesting stuff back, and they can finally hit the reset button, which they desperately needed to do.
So, Point out, Steve Clifford is on the last year of his contract. I wonder how he feels about the old bottom out maneuver.
Well, they were doing it anyways. They were doing it with those guys on the roster, you know?
I think Steve Clifford is going to be okay in Charlotte. I think he's on the same page with the front office, Orlando. And I suspect he'll be back. With Orlando. It wasn't Charlotte, yeah.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, but nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, girl-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. I will guesstimate that I have heard since last fall, Gary Harris offered to about, just conservatively, 8 or 9 different teams. They have been trying to trade Gary Harris, who was injured last year and just not playing very well. They've been trying to trade him for anybody. They finally got somebody to take Gary Harris. Now, they had to add young player, first rookie, RJ Hampton, and a future first. I didn't see the protection on that pick. Was there protection? There had to be, right?
I'm not sure. All
right. Anyway, to get Aaron Gordon, they also acquired JaVale McGee to be a backup for Jokic. Just getting that kind of a player for Gary Harris is a win, I think, because Harris's value was just very low. You know, maybe he'll get healthy and rebound and play well for Orlando. But by the way, Gary Harris and Porzingis aren't making that much of a difference. It's like, you know, $8 or $9 million. It's not like,
right.
You know, it's not like they didn't take on any money.
Although the years are a lot different, but go on.
Gary Harris has this year and next. So, Michael Porter Jr., since he got back from his latest round of COVID and got healthy, he's been playing really well, scoring hugely. Their offense has been great, but obviously they're defensively challenged. So this move is, I guess, Bontemps to have Aaron Gordon play small forward alongside Porter, and really not sort of be an offensive player, but defend some of the big guys that, you know, the Kawhi Leonard and the LeBron Jameses that they might have to see in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is going to be a really fascinating thing to see play out because, you know, as Orlando has been on this treadmill of mediocrity for years, everybody in the league has kind of thought the same thing, which is what would Aaron Gordon look like if he's the fourth option on offense and could kind of be unleashed as this Sean Marion type, like versatile defender who could guard a bunch of positions and do a bunch of stuff that he was kind of billed as when he came out of Arizona into the league a whole bunch of years ago, right? And that was never really the situation he was in Orlando. He was always one of the best couple players on the team. In a lot of ways, it's kind of reminiscent of another Arizona guy, Andre Iguodala, back at the beginning of his career when he was with the Philadelphia 76ers, and he was the best player on a team that was a seventh or eighth seed in the East, right? And then when he kind of slotted in as a defensive player who could pass and handle the ball and could shoot a little bit, he became an immensely valuable player to teams that were competing for championships. Now, I am not, to be clear, saying Aaron Gordon is going to become Andre Iguodala in Denver, where ironically Andre got traded before going to Golden State. But I do really love the move for them. I think he's better than Jeremy Grant, the guy he's essentially replacing. And I really like their five of, you know, with Jamal Murray, with Will Barton, and then Porter and Gordon on the wing, and then obviously with Jokic at center. That's a versatile five. They can score. They can all pass. Like, they can do a lot of stuff. And that, I think they got a lot better, especially when you look at these other top teams in the West, kind of all treading water at the deadline. I mean, the fact that they made a big move like that, I really like it. And I think it's a big move for them.
The one thing is, you know, positionally, I think both Aaron Gordon and Porter are best suited to play the four, but, you know, three, four, whatever, that's all kind of fluid, but I'm excited to see how he fits with Jokic in particular.
Should be awesome. Should be awesome.
And he does, he gives him, I mean, he's averaging over four assists a game this year. He definitely gives them more playmaking. They're a little light in terms of, you know, the backcourt now. You know, I guess Barton's starting at the two form. Old Faku's going to be getting some pretty significant minutes. Monty Morris becomes much more important.
DJ Dozier, a guy who's been out for a bunch of time, becomes a lot more important for them now too.
Yeah, but
that's why they felt okay about trading Harris, because Dozier has been pretty good.
Yeah, but I think Gordon's a pretty for among the West. I mean, we can kind of loosely define. I'm not going to say contenders. They have to prove that. Among the West top six, I think, you know, they made the biggest strides.
I would agree with that. So a big thing will be, will the Lakers be able to get Drummond? Now, for the last 10, 15 days, I've been operating under the assumption that Andre Drummond was ticketed for the Lakers, and that's maybe where he will go. But I was advised in the last 48 hours or so, do not assume that Drummond is keeping an eye on Brooklyn and keeping an eye on Miami. And by the way, Miami have one or two roster spots now.
They should have at least one, I think.
Well, I think they made a 2-for-1 trade with Sacramento, and they made a 2-for-1 trade with Houston. So
yeah,
I think
they may have more than one. Yeah.
So I think they have two roster spots. So in theory, they could offer Drummond a role, and also offer LaMarcus Aldridge a role. And then
I don't see how they can offer them both roles. They can offer them both roster spots. Tell me how they can offer both roles.
Well, we'll see.
Bam's going to play a fair amount of minutes, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. And I know, but they like Achiuwa as well. I'm just saying, keep an eye on Miami. I was told that. Okay.
Right.
So then you have New York and Charlotte. Now, New York and Charlotte both have cap space. And we'll see if Drummond has to give up money to get out of Cleveland. Typically, in a guy in a situation like he's in, I mean, they've essentially told him his role is gone because they wanted to play Jared Allen as their starter. Although, you know, whatever. They traded JaVale McGee today. Usually you know, if you have leverage, you get bought out for about the same amount of money that you'll sign for and you are whole. In some cases where you don't have good leverage, like Blake Griffin, you give out a lot more. I don't know whether Drummond is going to care about the money because he's making $29 million this year. The Knicks could offer him $10 million if they wanted. Charlotte, I believe, has $4 million. They could just flat out outbid any of those other teams. I don't know how important that is to Drummond.
Toronto's sitting there with a roster spot too and a gaping hole at center. Like if he's just trying to make, you know, trying to set himself up to make as much money next year, like there's teams with roles and money that are at least going to be, I would think, interesting to him to look at, depending on what he's trying to do.
Which is why I think the Lakers are going to have to say, you'll be our starter, which, you know, isn't stunning. I mean, Gasol hasn't had a great year. I think that's what he's looking at. I think he's going to be able to dictate what his role is. Now, what your role is when you sign and what your role is in the playoffs might be two different things. But, you know, he's got to look at where can he go to get the most opportunity and potentially set himself up to maybe re-sign or sign in the next season. And that would lead you to think about New York and Charlotte because they have cap space, not just now, but in the future. I still would wager on him going to the Lakers, but I guess it's still up in the air, McMahon.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I would still bet a pretty significant chunk of change that he ends up with the Lakers. You know,
and I don't think it's going to matter wherever he ends up because I don't think he's going to be all that impactful. But that's just my take.
I don't necessarily disagree with that either. I do think people keep talking about Andre Drummond, you know, this role guy, and for his size and athleticism, he's one of the worst finishers you could possibly imagine. So I think if you're counting on Andre Drummond to be some kind of dynamic vertical spacer, I believe you will be sorely disappointed.
Okay. A couple things before we go. The Clippers were, again, I don't want to use the word desperate. Desperate's a pretty strong word, but they really, really needed a guard.
Urgent is the nice way to describe desperate.
Urgent. Thank you. And they paid for him because they sent Lou Williams, who, quite frankly, at this point is probably a better player, at least night in and night out in the regular season, and 2 second-round picks. I mean, I think most people agree that Lou is the better player. And so to get Rajon Rondo, Bontemps, what do you think of that?
I mean, look, Rajon Rondo has been god-awful for the Hawks this year. And we can't really say
the Lakers last year
until the playoffs. And then he was good. And that really is what this is a bet on, right? This is a bet on quote unquote playoff Rondo showing up for the Clippers and giving them the kind of floor general they really need. And it remains to be seen if that's going to happen. I think Rondo, like Tyler Hero, like Donovan Mitchell, like Jamal Murray, like a lot of guys really benefited from the shooting backgrounds in the bubble. And he played great down there. Now, can he do that again in the playoffs? Perhaps. He is a really good guy in the locker room. Ty Lue knows him from his Boston days. I think he's certainly got a big enough personality to, you know, wrangle the Marcus Morrises and the, you know, Paul George and Kawhi and Serge Ibaka. I mean, he's going to have no problem telling guys where to go and what to do. And this team did need some kind of galvanizing presence at the point. I'm just not sure that Rajon Rondo is going to be that guy for them. But they had no options. They were up against the hard cap. I thought George Hill would have been a much better fit. For whatever reason, that deal didn't get done. He ended up going to Philly instead. But, you know, we'll see. For a team that had limited options, they had to pay out the nose to get Rondo. And, you know, we'll see if it works out for him.
All right. Before we go, we have our trivia question.
Ooh-wee.
Which is the Hoop Collective, and this trivia question is brought to you by CarMax. Don't just buy a car. Love your car with the new CarMax Love Your Car Guarantee. Okay.
Hey, when are you getting one of those IG video commercials? Woad's got an IG video commercial.
I don't know.
Come on, Wendy.
I like CarMax and Goodyear. That's what I like. Thank you. Because do you think Woad appeals to the IG community? Do you think that's a good market dynamic?
He's got like 2 million followers, so he's feeling right.
I know he's got 2 million followers, but all right. Okay, here is a trivia question. So Nikola Vucevic gets traded today. We talked about that a minute ago. He's just the 6th player who's averaging 20 points and 10 rebounds to get traded mid-season in NBA history, minimum 20 games into a season. In other words, not like 5 games in. 6th player in NBA history, but just the 2nd player in 41 years, okay? So Bob Lanier.
41 years, okay.
Bob Lanier.
Ooh, Bob Lanier. St. Bonaventure legend.
That's right. Got traded from the Bucks to the Pistons in 1980. Who is the only other 20 and 10 guy averaging 20 and 10?
Did St. Bonaventure win in the tournament when Bob Lanier was there? Go on.
They did, actually. They went to the Final Four, actually. Okay. Just farther North Texas has ever gone.
North Texas went further this year. That's all I know.
That is true.
This trade happened within the last 5 years.
The only other guy in the last 5 years.
Well, he's the only other guy in the last 40 years. But this, I'll just, as a hint, it happened in the last 5 years.
A 20 and 10 guy traded at the deadline.
And I'll give you a hint. He's a center.
Why am I blanking?
I'll give you another hint. It happened over the All-Star break.
Oh, Boogie.
DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, one hint too many.
Yeah, I should have gotten that one.
And that feels like it was 50 years ago. Man, what a weird world.
By the way, is Boogie going to get another job in the NBA? I mean, he's tweeting videos of like 24-hour pickup runs.
He shot 37% with.
I watched a lot of those.
Arguably the worst team in the league. I know they don't have the worst record, but they're arguably the worst team in the league to me. All right. Well, a lot more in this fallout. But
by the way, he shot 100% in the video clip on Twitter the other day.
Very good. Wouldn't it be awesome if a player like to troll the internet like released a workout video where he just missed every shot? Like that would be amazing.
That'll go right up there with the next time we'll hear a coach criticize another coach on TV or any of the other axioms that are undefeated in our lives.
Right. Or on trade deadline week, a GM or coach, not saying, "Oh, but I like our team. I like
yes,
our
team. Yes.
I like what we have." Again, wouldn't it be great to be like, "Actually, our team sucks. This whole season has failed." And that's what the Magic. Like if they were being honest, like they'd be like, "Look, our team sucked. We got injured. The guys that we have didn't want to be here. Our recent draft picks aren't very good. We just lost 8 in a row.
Top of this draft?
Right, right. We're tanking and we're having a fire sale. Thank you for coming to this press conference."
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you to the Tims. Thank you to Dan, our producer. Thank you, listening to the Hoop Collective. Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.